The new year is here, and it's the perfect time to kickstart your meditation practice. The Morning Meditation for Women podcast has short, daily guided meditations that will help you start your day with intention and focus, and make it so easy to get you into the habit. Imagine feeling so much more calm and confident in 2025. Follow and listen to Morning Meditation for Women on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
FM Talk Podcast.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Come on, turn the radio on. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a Mary the sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a Mary the sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Hey, good morning, guys. This is going to likely be the most destructive fire in state history based on what I've seen over the last 12 to 24 hours. I've been coming in north on PCH. Keith came in from the south, and I can tell you, so this, the Pacific Ocean is literally right over there. These homes are right on the beach. There are three burning right now. As you can see, three others burned earlier, and as I came down PCH from the north, I had to see about two dozen homes burning along the beach.
That's Fox News Channel's William Lajeunesse reporting on these Los Angeles wildfires, which is just absolutely horrific to watch. And also, I got to imagine, to report on as well. And we're going to bring on our guest right away here because Harris Faulkner is on with us. She is, of course, an author. She is the host of the Faulkner Focus and Outnumbered on Fox News. But Harris, I know that you've done reporting all over the country, and I always think about reporters that would be like yourself in these positions, seeing what you're seeing with your own eyes and having to tell the American people about what's happening. What's that like?
You know, this is the hardest but most important part of my job. And first of all, I want to say thank you for having me on. It is a huge news day for so many different reasons, and this fire is one of them. But also, blessings in this new year. We are, as a nation, watching a lot of differences and changes in this country. And so that's being ushered in with a new presidency. There are a whole lot of things that are going on right now. I will say this about the West Coast fires. When this began a little bit more than 24 hours ago, no one had forecast 100-mile-an-hour winds. Now, as the day went on, they did. And the game changer that became was that this was a hurricane that wasn't driven by something that can put fire out, rain, which most hurricanes have a lot of rain, not all. This was driven by something that really nothing puts it out. If you can't hit it from the sky, those firefighters don't stand a chance on the ground, which is why in some neighborhoods they're just letting the houses burn.
Yeah.
Because you don't have enough resources to go in there and put everything out. This is an inferno hurricane. That's what I've been calling it today. And during my hour of the Faulkner Focus, we found out two things that I had not anticipated to hear. First of all, I didn't have my mind around people not getting out, but not out of stubbornness or some sort of, you know, defiance of being told what to do. Annie, they couldn't get out.
Yeah.
I mean, they were given seconds notice. It wasn't enough time. And, you know, many people have go boxes in that part of the world. Look, I live, you know, the other half of my non-TV life in Arizona. Arizona has wildfires, too. We don't get a lot of rain. We have one monsoon season a year. So I get it. And if you're smart, you do have a little go box. But come on, could you really get every single keepsake in a go box?
Yeah.
A go box has to be something that's not much bigger than your purse.
Sure.
Because you can't leave in your car. It's got gasoline in it. You can't drive that through flames. So I look at the number during that live news conference, 11 a.m. Eastern on my show, when the L.A. Fire Chief said, we have a high number of significant injuries from people who did not evacuate. I'm thinking at that point, what in the world kept them from doing that? Some of them we learned from my fire chief interview moments later. Annie, they would get to the perimeter of their neighborhoods and the perimeter was on fire. So they'd have to leave their cars behind and then they were going to try to run for it. And then authorities said, you got to get away from the flames. Just go back to your houses. Well, how many houses burned as people went back to their houses? Like, I just think this story goes on. And then I had a fire professional tell me today. He is the field chief of the Los Angeles County Fire Department. He said that this could take weeks to put out, at least a week to contain it above zero, which is where it is now.
That's unbelievable. I mean, it really is. If we didn't have the visuals that are brought to us by people reporting in the press.
We wouldn't believe it.
And also, the people I stayed up till 2 a.m. laying in my bed last night watching videos on X, and it's just, it's horrifying. You can't turn away from it. I really think that the press is going to have a very important role. You and your position with the national audience, but also those local reporters. Because the amount of recovery that is in front of these poor people who are going to have to rebuild everything, either there or elsewhere, there's going to be a lot of government that is going to have to oversee what happens next in Southern California. And, you know, I think of California as a highly regulatory area, and I'm looking at lives being preserved, but everything around them being lost and thinking, you know, I don't know how anybody could prepare for something quite like this. But the press is going to have to keep the people who are going to be able to gatekeep what happens next, keep them very honest, keep them very much so in the public eye so that the people of California are served correctly.
Well, I don't know if they're going to be served any better than the victims of Hurricane Helene, quite frankly. The rich people will be, the privileged ones, and they'll get all of the attention. But here's the problem. There are people in apartments and other dwellings out there who aren't making the news right now. Who do you think works at all those restaurants? I mean, those small business owners have employees that they may have to tell, I'm sorry, you don't have a job. Business burned to the ground. There are a tremendous amount of people who are suffering today that we don't have eyes on because, what, they don't live in Malibu mansions on the sea. I have a heart for everybody who is losing livelihood. I remember Suzanne Summers lost her house in a Malibu fire just a number of years ago. They have a fire season. But that paled in comparison to this. And I remember her crying and saying, when you lose everything, baby pictures, everything. Remember, we did live a time years ago where we didn't have cell phones. So not everything has been preserved in that way. So I totally get that. But at the same time, my number one question is, what are you going to do for the people who are without? And by the way, not everybody could afford to go to a hotel when they were evacuated. I asked this question about hurricanes of a different kind, because, again, I call this an inferno hurricane. Not a technical term, but when you have fire that's driven by hurricane force winds, that's what it becomes. And so I have that question. I was already hearing this today. And now I'm starting to hear it from particularly Republican leadership on the ground in California. Why didn't the fire hydrants have more water in them? Why didn't the fire hydrants, particularly in Malibu, as some viewers have told me, not have water pressure? That means in some part of that city, even if you could evacuate, you can't drink that water. You know that when you don't have water pressure, you have to boil it. How are you going to boil it? You certainly don't want to turn on gas in the middle of a fire, even if you could. Like, it's a mess. You talk about government control and regulation. They have controlled people right out of their homes now. Why didn't they cut down some of that foliage? They know. Again, I'm in Arizona. You got brush that can burn that's fuel. You don't get enough rainfall. You got to cut that down, take that back to a more indigenous type of landscape. I know it may not be as pretty as a tree that you think you can water 365 days a year, which is not even possible in that environment, unless it's artificial, unless it's some kind of a way that you're bringing water in. Well, if they're not bringing in enough water to keep the water pressure up for the human beings, I don't think you ought to be trying to save the trees that are dried out. You got to cut them down.
Right.
You have to cull what becomes fuel for a fire. I have so many questions. But you know what, Annie? I had those questions before this fire.
Right. Yes, we've heard these discussions. Donald Trump has been somebody who has, I remember
100%.
We were talking earlier on the show. We covered some press conference that he did. It was before the election took place. I think he was at a campaign event, maybe in Napa Valley. I don't know. And he started going like super nerd talk on water curation and what the California is. I was like, gosh, this guy knows so much about something that me in the Midwest, I don't even need to know about this. How does Donald Trump know so much about the water situation in California with true ideas of how they need to be doing it better? You talked at the beginning of our chat here about it is a new year and there are so many things to look forward to. The federal government being in the hands of Donald Trump in 12 days will mean a world of difference, I think, for those people of Southern California as they rebuild than should Joe Biden continue to be in the Oval Office or Kamala Harris, for that matter.
Look, DHS, the Department of Homeland Security, is too big. It cannot handle everything that it's tasked to do, including FEMA. How do we know? Asheville, North Carolina.
Right.
Chattanooga, North Carolina. All the people after Hurricane Helene. I mean, what a national and international embarrassment to have as much as we have, but we look at Appalachia and say we can't see you as FEMA? Are they blind or are they cruel or are they both? Because I guarantee you FEMA is going to be on the ground in California. Oh, by the way, the absent mayor, Karen Bass, she was doing something that dignitaries often do. She was at an inauguration for a new leader in Ghana. So she was, you know, thousands of miles away on the African continent. Okay, that's part of what the job maybe entails, so on and so forth. The minute this happened, though, you get on a plane. I'm certain it wasn't like she... I don't know what she was flying, but whatever. I'm sure she could get out. And you drive in the rest of the way if you can only get into, you know, to the border of California. Wherever you go, you get to your city. Now, I've understood from what her officials have told Fox News today that she's been an important part of the conversation, blah, 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 blah. Do you have a phone? Can you make a video? Can you send out a message to people? Because I can tell you they have probably better internet in parts of the African continent than they do on most planes. I don't know about you, but I pay that $8 and then half the time the Wi-Fi doesn't work.
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Right. So she could have sent a little something before she left. She certainly could try from the air. But you have to show people that you care, not just through your assistants and other officials. And so she supposedly will be on the ground. The person that who was at the news conference in her stead said these words live on the air. She cares. I want to thank Joe Biden and Governor Newsom. Excuse me, what? You want to thank Joe Biden and Governor? What have they done that they aren't capable of doing for everybody else so immediately? I mean, do you remember how long it took? I almost said the former president. He basically is 11 days.
Very close.
Do you know how long it took Biden to get to that region saying, well, I didn't want to be a problem? He was actually in Los Angeles yesterday. For a different reason.
Yeah.
For a presidential type of responsibility reason, he was. And he said he wasn't going to leave where he was or his hotel because he didn't want to cause like a motorcade situation, whatever. But he was making sure they had resources. Boy, I sure would like to be a fly on the wall when the governors that were trying to reach out, except for the Democrat governor of North Carolina, but the rest in Appalachia, what were those conversations like with him?
Man, I mean, 11 days. You know, Harris.
I mean, you can tell my passion is on full display today.
Yes.
Because who will advocate for the people? And this is our job as journalists. You're right, Annie. If we don't start to put pressure on a system that now says it will listen to us, well, then when will we?
Right. The only way to hold a government that is supposed to be by the people and for the people accountable is with a free and fair press that is willing to actually advocate for truth for said people. We haven't had that
Amen.
In the past. And I feel, I mean, Fox News, people feel like they can trust Fox News. We're very happy to be a Fox News Radio affiliate here in St. Louis. But I'm even seeing other networks realize at least whatever they were doing doesn't seem to be working. If they get their act together, I think that would be good for the American people. But it's good that we have Fox News that we can rely on. And I trust you every day watching
well,
your
you.
Show to make sure that you ask the tough questions, regardless of who you have on. And I hope to be able to see a lot more of that, especially when we have somebody in leading our federal government that cares about the American people and has new ideas to get the right things done.
Well, and firsthand understands what it's like to have a media that isn't the two things that you mentioned. We have been free, but some among us have not been fair.
Yes.
And, you know, no one knows that better than Donald Trump coming in as the 47th president of the United States. Because when he was 45th, he had to find out the hard way.
Yeah. It's a whole new world.
I mean, it's the fairness component. And now that it's expected, look at Meta. Oh, my goodness. Mark Zuckerberg. We're going to stop fact checking. By the way, fact checking on Facebook should have been in quotes. That's a whole nother conversation. But he's going to knock that down now because he knows he's got to be competitive. Elon Musk means business. I've seen changes on X, even recently. I was having a suppression problem whenever I would ask questions. My reach was dampened and threats were allowed to come into my feed. And, you know, I'm not the only one. I mean, Kaylee and I have both talked about this on the couch. The problem with that is that we're members of the media. And if I'm not allowed to ask questions on a platform that reaches tens of millions of people and you say that it's an open platform, then you're lying. And so I guess Facebook has been lying up until today. So I'm glad that Zuckerberg and his Meta staff have seen the light of fairness, and let's see where it goes. But they have to do it if they want to make money.
That's the most beautiful part about it, is that it's the free market that pushed Mark Zuckerberg to get his head on straight. And God willing, he follows through on what he has said he is going to do. Another conversation I would like to have with you at another time. Certainly there will be lots to continue to talk about. Harris Faulkner, you are a delight to have on the show. Thank you so much for fitting us into your
schedule. Thank you for having me. Oh, goodness. I'm always grateful, Annie. You know I'm a big fan.
I appreciate you. I'm a huge fan of yours as well. Harris Faulkner, thank you for the time today.
Happy New Year. Happy God bless you.
Yes, you as well. God bless you. Wonderful, wonderful woman, Harris Faulkner. I do watch her every day before the show in some capacity. I watch the Faulkner Focus and Outnumbered, and I appreciate her take and her her feistiness. I would have said that to her if she were. I should have referred to her as feisty. I think she would have appreciated that. I think it's a good thing to have. We're going to take a quick break. She was bringing up the conversation we have on the YouTube live chat poll for today. Will Mark Zuckerberg make Facebook great again? Yes or no? This is a funny way of asking. Do you think Mark Zuckerberg's going to follow through with what he says? You may not be the biggest Facebook user, but how many of us were bigger Facebook users before Mark Zuckerberg made it pretty clear he didn't want the likes of us on his platform, or at least persuaded to think as such? Let's talk a little bit more about that. We'll get a little feedback from you, the listener, on the Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll. You can leave a comment on the YouTube live broadcast, and we'll discuss that right when we come back. Great to speak with Harris Faulkner. Conversation about the YouTube live chat poll next.
Work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use Stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping and have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle all your mailing and shipping needs with rates up to 88% off USPS and UPS. Add flexibility to your day with Stamps.com. Go to stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's stamps.com/program.
I think they've come a long way, Meta, Facebook. I think they've come a long way. I watched it. The man was very impressive. I watched it. Actually, I watched it on Fox. I'm not allowed to say that. Say it.
Do you think he's directly responding to the threats that you have made to him in the past?
Probably.
Probably. And this little tidbit in that press conference from yesterday squished in between, I think we're going to take Greenland and the Panama Canal. That's kind of where we're bopping back and forth in this press conference from a man who's not afraid to go and say, ask me questions. What do you want to know? I'll tell you what I think. Joe Biden is in California and Santa Monica right now with Gavin Newsom. I'm going to hold off on playing that right now and see what it is that he had to say. But he's there. Kind of weird to me that he would show up there, except for the fact that we just learned from speaking with Harris Faulkner that he was in Southern California yesterday.
Yeah, he was already there.
So it might have been a timing thing. It's not like he left Washington, D.C. or one of his vacations at Camp David to go to California. Because that was the visual I was thinking when she was talking about that. Like the people of North Carolina, who are still in no man's land after Hurricane Helene if you're like, if you tune into the news and Joe Biden's like fighting fires out in Southern California right now, are you like, what in the ever loving fudge brownie is this?
Yeah. Yeah. What are you doing? What is like, you couldn't make yourself look more partisan if you did that, but
I think it's important.
Yeah.
He was there.
He was already there.
So if he's there and he doesn't do something super
really bad.
Yeah. Really bad. But I want to talk a little bit about this Facebook Meta thing. Because you are probably like me. I'm not getting burned by another one of these Yahoos, so to speak. But okay, yeah, I'll trust you. Free speech on Facebook. Yeah, let's go. I'm not there. I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, well, I'll just start posting all these things. Like putting in a Facebook post something about Trump, I'm conditioned. It used to be I was conditioned to reword things on Facebook so that I didn't use words that I thought were going to that I thought were going to hinder my ability to reach people. And then it got to the point where I was like, I'm not even posting on Facebook anymore.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, weird that you say that, because I know exactly what you're talking about. Whenever I'm putting up YouTube videos and stuff like that, I'm always trying to be cognizant of what will allow the video to reach the most people. But the unfortunate, the sad part about that is that's essentially self-censorship, and that's the goal.
Yeah, they've made me go, it's not worth my time. So my thoughts and my messages aren't out there for the people to see. I'm sure everybody's heartbroken over it. But I also found other avenues. YouTube, we're on YouTube. We have 11,029 subscribers on YouTube. I am incredibly proud of that. YouTube is a Google product. Google is an Alphabet product. Mm-hmm. These are not people who love what I think. Side note. Pay attention to the people. If you want, have you ever looked at who owns large shares of Alphabet?
No.
George Soros does.
Shocker.
George Soros does. George Soros has his hands in Alphabet, which is way more than we could ever even possibly imagine. And when you pay attention to things like that, and you know that, like, everybody participates in something that has to do with Google. Whether, mm-hmm. I mean, you could try not to. Good freaking luck.
Yeah, good luck, yeah. I tried that for a while. I tried to be not Google, not have anything that was Google related. You can't do it. You've got your emails, be it YouTube, anything that Alphabet gets their claws in, they've got control of that, and that's Google. It's interesting that you mentioned George Soros has control over that, because you get to the thing that organization that he is a part of, or that he has founded, is really interested in controlling speech. And when you can control what is said, or the messaging, at least not what is said, but what actually gets traction or gets put out there, you can start to shift and move the society into the directions you want to, because you change reality for people.
I just think it's important to mention that people like George Soros are everywhere.
Everywhere.
And you almost can't escape it, but you do have to be aware, mm-hmm. and you have to be able to utilize things that you trust and people that you trust.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want you to know that you can always trust the Annie Fry Show. When it comes to Meta, when it comes to Mark Zuckerberg, when it comes to utilizing Facebook, you know, I'm like, I initially just totally recoil at the thought of using Threads.
Yeah.
Because it was a Meta product. It is X.
Right.
Right?
That, yeah, it was, it kind of came about right when Elon bought X, and everybody, the liberals were like, where should we go now? And then they went to Threads, and then Threads really didn't go anywhere. But yeah, it's
what's just, the other? What's the what's the
blue sky?
That sounds so pretty. Blue sky. When I think about selecting a social media platform to have a familiar, comfortable conversation with like-minded people, I am turned off by that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really. Maybe it's not fair. I have a show. maybe that itch is scratched doing this show. But to back up what I'm saying, the only time I ever log into Truth Social is to confirm that the screenshot that I saw on X about what Donald Trump said, and I'm like, he didn't say that. I'm like, oh, it looks like he did.
Yeah,
he really did say it, and he really did say it that way. I will go into True Social to confirm that. I am on True Social, Annie Fry Show. Go follow or whatever it is there, the show. Yeah. I don't do anything there.
No.
Because I don't need to go on True Social to feel comfortable around a bunch of people who are saying the same things that I would be saying.
Yeah, I look at it like this. Political ideas or ideologies, worldviews, all of those things are like muscle groups. You need to exercise them, and you need to exercise muscles, to build muscles, to strengthen your body. You have to go with resistance. You have to find some sort of resistance. Same way with ideas. You've got to test your ideas against other ideas to see if they hold up, or if you're really interested in pursuing the truth, setting aside the ideas that aren't true, that aren't good, that are bad, and looking for new ideas on the same topics that are better, that are truthful, that are more accurate. That's, you can't get that in an echo chamber. You really need to like crosstalk with people from opposing viewpoints.
And I don't want social media to be all about politics all the time. Yeah. I don't want that. I mean, X can be like that based on the flow of the news, but I can pay attention to what's going on in California, and that's not really political. It's going to get political. It is in some way, shape, or form getting political based on the perspectives of the people who are actually there experiencing this right now, who know a little bit about X, Y, and Z really should have been done right now. And other people are saying X, Y, and Z could be done if A, B, and C would have happened. And if, okay, yes, I get it. But X can be a source of news. X is a great place to be when sports are going on that you mm-hmm. care about, if you're watching it live and you are participating with it live. I presume that X is a great place to be during a Golden Globes event, if that's your cup of tea. It is not mine. Did you watch any of the Golden Globes? I don't even know what I'm asking you.
I just saw the few clips that hit X. With what was her name? I can't think of her name now. The host,
Glazer, Nikki Glazer.
Yeah,
she was good.
She roasted a couple people, and that was good.
I in my 2 week off stupor of, I don't know what we're gonna do next. What do you want to do? Let's just turn the TV on and see what happens. Golden Globes pops up, and at that point, Golden Globes are up. We know that there's a snow day, so our family. I mean, I said something to my kids about this over the break. I said, are you going to remember Christmas breaks like the way they are right now? And they were all like, oh my gosh, yes. I'm setting them up for a great disappointment because it's not reality. Their father is a teacher, so he gets off the same time that they do. I am encouraged to take time off during those weeks, as opposed to taking a week off in the middle of August or, you know, some other time. And I work really hard to mirror the days that I take off with my kids. And I used to feel bad about that, but I got a newsflash. I'm not. My kids are growing so fast that every minute I get to spend with them like that, I want to do it.
Yeah, I do that for sure.
So this year, the way the calendar worked, this was my favorite. Because with Christmas being in the middle of the week, I don't think we traditionally get like 2 weeks off the way we did. Plus, then the kids got two more snow days. There are other people around where we are that did get a third, like work from home, learn from home day, which I'm not opposed to. The roads in many places, the parking lots were not traversable, and I don't want kids slipping and sliding around.
Right. Or waiting at bus stops in 6 feet.
Yeah, I am not a Scrooge about that stuff at all. But we take this time off so I make it possible to be home with them when they are off. And we just hang out together the whole time. We play video games. We have a couple Nintendo Switches and we have an Xbox. The Xbox is a hand-me-down from my brother who gave it to, on loan, probably permanent loan, but who knows, to my son so he could play. We play Fortnite together. So we've been playing a lot of Fortnite. But we also play Mario Party. If you know, you know. Ready? Yeah. But we just hang out together. And we spend all this time with each other in a way that isn't so fast paced, like, you know, basketball's in, baseball's going on, volleyball's going on. We both work, so on and so forth. My son being in high school, he's got more things he wants to do. Everything, it's almost like time stops for these two weeks. And it's just so amazing. And to me, it's like having a summer break.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the summer break that they do, but I do not want to be at home with the same people that long. At the end of summer, my husband's like, oh my gosh, I'm so he's done with it. He's over it. But the last Sunday of the break, the Golden Globes, like, we just turned the TV on, the Golden Globes are on. And I had this immediate, like, reflexive action of get that off the screen. I was thinking that. And then I was like, no, you know what? I'm going to sit here and why not? I'm going to sit here and watch. And I was waiting. I was just sitting there waiting to be offended. And I'm like, this really sucks. I don't need to be. I don't want to live like that anymore. And the reason why, and I was having a conversation with somebody a little bit earlier this morning about just this very thing. Conservative-minded people, and I'm not talking just about politically conservative-minded people. I'm talking about traditionally, culturally, socially conservative-minded people. There is nothing wrong with being socially conservative at all. Religiously conservative or whatever it might be. We have been so nicely quiet for so incredibly long that when you watch something like that, you just expect person after person to go on the stage and say things that are offensive to you because it's so in your face. You're so used to being reminded of who needs to be amplified, and in order to rise people up, we need to squash people down. And you're used to, you know, squashing down and hiding and being like, yes, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I'm this. I'm sorry that I'm that. I'm sorry I think this. Or not even saying I'm sorry, but just being like, I'm going to withdraw. I'm not going to be a part of this conversation because what I think here is different. And it's obvious that those people hate me for what I think being different. So we've been quiet for a really long time. So much so that the things that are supposed to be truly entertaining for us, we can't be entertained by them anymore. That's a sad, sad thing. And when it comes to Mark Zuckerberg and what is taking place with this Facebook, Meta, Instagram, Threads, whatever else he owns, when it comes to what he's doing right now, don't miss the opportunity to really see the dramatic change that could be happening culturally because of what Donald Trump has done in this country. He's leveled the playing field so much. Going back to, I was so happy to hear Harris Faulkner talking about this earlier because she said what I think and what I want to be true and I hope to be true. I'm in a position right now to hope, and I am not secularly a hopeful person. I am a realistic ish usually doesn't go the way it's supposed to go. So you just brace yourself and then you plow through it because you're a strong woman, Annie Fry. That's just the mentality that I have. Mark Zuckerberg. Well, you listen to what Donald Trump said in that clip we played. Do you think he's been doing some of this stuff because of the threats he made? He's like, yeah, probably. Donald Trump's like, yeah, yeah. Look at the change that he's affected. Would you ever in your wildest dreams in 2016 and in 2020 thought that in 2024, Donald Trump would have earned his second term with a resounding victory, 7-7 in the swing states, the popular vote? You never, ever would have imagined that. And you don't even know what to do with the affirmation of the American people of Donald Trump because we have not been here before. 2016, Donald Trump wins the election. The next day, in the Washington Post or whatever it was, the impeachment begins today. This is the first time that people have pivoted to Donald Trump and said, let's give him a chance. Let's see what he can do. Don't miss the opportunity to see people like Mark Zuckerberg. And I get it. I know. I understand. I am way heavier in the verify portion of trust, but verify here. Like, maybe even just allowing myself to side-eye the word trust. Mostly because I think he's kind of got the endorsement of Donald Trump. I trust Donald Trump. And if Donald Trump says we should give Mark Zuckerberg a shot to course correct here? The only alternative we have in this moment is to not give Mark Zuckerberg the chance to do this, and then he'd be like, why did I even try? The mainstream media apparatus, the legacy media apparatus, is collapsing, if it hasn't already collapsed under its own weight. The American people, in a popular vote fashion, have picked Donald Trump. It's not you and me that picked Donald Trump. The people picked Donald Trump. It's not our side anymore. It's the American people who did this. Things are going to change. The vice president of the United States once called his running mate Hitler. And Donald Trump still saw fit to say, I want to learn about you. You're a great pick for VP. I'm going to put you on the ticket. People change. They do change. And we are not in the business of accepting this idea because fool me once, fool me twice, fool me nine times, 15 times, two dozen times. We've had enough. The sea change of what led to this moment in November of last year, that is an unbelievable development in the political arc of candidate and President Donald Trump, has to make us understand that the entire status quo in this country has changed. And what we have right now, we haven't determined what it is yet. We haven't put ourselves in a position to see what could come next, which is where you get hope. If you have hope, you believe that something in the future could be different in a way that will benefit you, that will benefit your family, that will benefit a safe and secure United States of America. And Donald Trump has put us in a position to where even Mark Zuckerberg himself is making a very vocal and public commitment to change. Again, heavy on the verify in the trust but verify equation. But without Donald Trump and without his victory in November, we're not talking about Mark Zuckerberg shaking things up and trying to make it a bastion of free speech a la Elon Musk's X. We're not doing that without Donald Trump, which means there's hope in the future. So if you are a little jaded, if you're a whole heck of a lot jaded and you're looking at Mark Zuckerberg and you're like, I get it. I don't even judge it. But I want to just put in the back of your brain right now that encouragement to exhale a little bit and say, maybe this time it could actually be different. Maybe it could. And if we bust through that door and things start to change, embrace them. Let's take a quick break. Get your thoughts in on the Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. Will Mark Zuckerberg make Facebook great again? Or for the first time? Yes or no? Let us know what you think. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. As Brad was just saying, the YouTube live chat poll, will Mark Zuckerberg make Facebook great again? Yes or no? Let's read some of the thoughts from y'all in the YouTube live chat. You can go join us there. But just a heads up, if you go subscribe to the Annie Fry YouTube channel, we would love to have you. Please come join us there. You got to wait 5 minutes before you can comment, and that just keeps some of the crazy pantses away from, that's an official term, by the way, from the chat. And just being weirdos. So if you're not a weirdo, come on over and subscribe. And in 5 minutes, you can leave a comment. Ender says, Zuck is no dummy. He sees the writing on the walls, which is why I fully believe he'll enact the changes he said. I mean, he makes a good point. Why would he come out and make such a bold statement right now, right before Donald Trump takes office, about all of the things he's going to do? Why would he do all of this right now and then not fully deliver?
Ender's all over it. Mark Zuckerberg is not stupid. He is a smart businessman. So even, I think he believes what he says, but even if he doesn't, I think he's about making the company stronger, and he sees this as the path forward.
Yeah, I would think so. Bob says, I think Facebook will improve based on what he has said they're doing going forward. He's already cut loose their contract with the, quote, fact checkers. I'm glad Mark Zuckerberg seems to be transformed. You know, I ask myself, I don't generally default to having a lot of faith in people.
Mm-hmm.
I just have a general understanding of the human condition. It's pretty self-serving, and, you know, I am a human, so I'm right there with it. Like, I'm sure other people have those same expectations of me, but I'm not gonna, I don't, I don't think Mark Zuckerberg is doing this to be a nice, good person. He's got to see some sort of benefit in it for himself, for Meta. And it might be financial. It might be a good business decision, but it might also be the right legal decision.
Yeah.
Andrew Bailey, Attorney General of the state of Missouri. We've seen Eric Schmidt, the former Attorney General, now Senator of the state of Missouri. I mean, both of those individuals have been pioneers in pushing it back against overreaching, censoring government that was in bed with the people who ran these different social media platforms to keep people like you and me shutting our mouths.
Yeah. Yeah. What they uncovered, what Bailey and Schmidt's investigations and subsequent lawsuits uncovered, was collusion between the government and Facebook to suppress the speech of others. That is blatantly unconstitutional. And so I know Zuckerberg doesn't want to get involved in that.
Let's see here. Jackie said Meta should add tools for people to self-filter what they don't want to see, or they can simply unfollow or block people. What if you had the ability? Well, you used to. I don't even know if it's on there anymore. You used to be able to, like, you used to say politics, conservative, very conservative, moderate, libertarian, whatever. You used to be able to select what you were. You, if you don't want to see other people, if you could, maybe not on the front public facing thing, if you could, if you wanted to. Don't have to in order to use a platform. But if I wanted to go in there and be like, yeah, I'm conservative, and I want Facebook to show me things that are catered to conservatives. I mean, good grief. I'm a 40-year-old mother, a soccer mom who hates soccer. You can't say I'm a basketball mom or I'm a baseball mom. You can't even say baseball mom, volleyball mom or whatever. You can't say that and it mean what soccer mom means. But yes, I am a soccer mom. We do not play soccer. Facebook sure wants to know every detail of that so that they can serve me content that they think that I should see. Mm-hmm. Why would politics be different? But it has been. So if you wanted to say, I'm a conservative or whatever the label is, and then be able to say, I don't want to see people, I don't want to see content from people who are serving up content for liberals. Now, you could, that could mean that you don't want to, like, we are a Facebook page on the Annie Fry Show. Facebook page exists. And the difference between you being my actual friend on Facebook, because we know each other in real life, maybe that doesn't weed out things that I post, but it might weed out things that the Annie Fry Show page has posted on Facebook that your friend likes that you don't want to see. Mm-hmm. So that stuff kind of gets, we're going to put it over here. And then you're going to get to still see pictures of my cute puppy and babies.
Yeah.
I mean, I think people would sign up for that because Facebook, to me, was always supposed to be the non-politics place.
Right.
I don't put anything personally political up on my show, on my Facebook page, my personal profile.
Yeah, I don't know that I've ever posted anything too political on my personal Facebook page, but I also haven't posted on my personal Facebook page in like 3 years. I use it to look in for stuff, but man, I really just, I don't interact. And that's probably because I really started getting involved in social media after all this suppression and stuff started happening.
There's no incentive for people like you to be like, yeah, come hang out here. I wish that what Mark Zuckerberg would be able to do is put us back into a position where we could start sharing in people each other's lives instead of having to be above our eyeballs in people's politics.
Right. That seems pleasant. That seems like a pleasant place to be.
Yeah. And everything, gosh, when I scroll through my Facebook page, I'm on a bunch of different types of groups, like travel groups, Southwest Airlines. I'm always trying to maximize that. Disney groups, sue me. I'm in all these things that Cricut stuff, because I like to make stuff with my Cricut. I get all of that stuff and like an occasional picture of something that you did this Christmas season. I want to know more about the people in my life. Do that, Mark Zuckerberg. Go vote. Annie Fry YouTube channel. 2 o'clock hour next. Don't go away.
Get more at 971talk.com.